Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Furqan, Surah 25, verse number 1. Tabarak alladhi nazzala furqana ala abdihi liyakuna lil'alamin nadhira. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tabarak alladhi nazzala Quran. Glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah 25, verse number 1. Glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who revealed the Quran, nazzal al-Quran ala abdihi, upon his slave Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, liyakuna lil'alamin nazira, so that it will be for the whole of humanity and universe and everything, these worlds, as a warner. Why? Because this Quran is a warning. We just listened to the Quran, mashallah, from the Hafiz, and we saw the effectivity it has on our hearts. Because listening, we are the followers of a Ummi Nabi. And Ummi meaning unlettered. Ummi inherently means someone who does not read and write, but someone who is very sharp and smart and fast in listening and repeating. Rasulullah memorized the Quran not just by looking at Quran, but by listening to Jibreel, repeating it. And that's why from old times, our Hufaz, the sunnah that they had was always sitting with the Shaykh reciting to the young boy, and the young boy is repeating back, and through this back and forth motion they will memorize. Today I know that we have Quran, and we see that visual memory is also good, but we are followers of the Ummi Nabi where we use these faculties of hearing and faculties of seeing, which has more profound and more rapid effect in memorizing. And that is why we see that if you listen to a CD or cassette of Quran and you keep repeating it again and again, very quickly it memorizes. You don't even have to sit at home and memorize. Just in the car, like 5 days a week, you're going back and forth from work, you put the same surah for 5 days continuously. By Friday, you see that somewhere in your home when you are ironing your shirt or doing something else, or automatically that verse comes on your mouth, on your tongue. This is the effectivity of the Quran, of the faculties of listening and repeating. Because as it's going in, it is digesting, it is submerging, and it is also coming down through repetition. The second one is Surah Kahf, verses 1 to 3, the 18th surah in the Quran, Surah Kahf. Allah subhanahu again tells us, Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitaba wa lam yaj'al lahu ulaja qayyiman linzira ba'than shadida min ladunhu yubashshiru al-mu'minina alladhina ya'maluna as-salihat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has revealed to his slave, again, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this Quran, this Kitab, وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا. And Allah has not made any crookedness, any sort of deficiency is not there in this Quran. This book is such wholesome and upright and so pristine and so intact, so comprehensive, in a sense that you will not find any doubt, any contradiction, any iwaj. The word iwaj means crookedness, meaning you won't find anything that is swaying away from it. And that is why Allah's mother is saying, قَيِّمًا. This book is very powerful, very, very high of magnitude. Why? لَيُنْزِرَ بَعْسًا شَدِيدًا. Because it warns people. And at the same time, it gives glad tidings, good news, to the believers who do the righteous good deeds. Not just good tidings for the believers, but the believer with the condition that they do good deeds also. Next we see also the power of this Quran, or the effectivity of this Quran, not just us, our creation, human beings, but on another creation. I mean, if we talk about Quran, we can go on and on till Fajr time. But I've chosen these ayats for tonight to show us that how we can attach ourselves with Quran by looking at some of these ayats and their importance of it. The next one is in Surah Jinn, Surah 72, verses 1 and 2, where Allah tells us about قُلْ أُوْهِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَى نَفَرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَقَالُوا إِنَّ سَمَعْنَا قُرْآنٌ عَجَبًا. Allah is saying here that it has been revealed to me that a group of people, نَفَرٌ مِنَ الْجِنِّ, group of people, a group of jinns have listened to the Qur'an. استَمَعَ نَفَرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَقَالُوا, and then they said, the jinn people who listened to the Qur'an from the mouth of Rasulullah ﷺ listening to him, they said, إِنَّ سَمَعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا. We have listened to Qur'an that is very ajeeb. Why is Allah SWT coming with the wasf al-daqeeq? Allah SWT is giving a very discreet description of the Qur'an. That this Qur'an is not just that they didn't just say that we listened to Qur'an, a very magnificent, melodious, sweet, beautiful, sense of the Qur'an. No. We listen to a very ajeeb, very very peculiar, very intriguing, very magnetic, pulling. Quran has that kashish, Quran has that attraction, that it pulls someone towards it. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, this is an effectivity, one of the effectivities of the Quran, of the many that it has, that it gradually pulls a person towards it. And we can see the biggest proof of this pulling nature of the Quran right here in America. Since September 11, you see how many people, when they come into Islam, and the first thing they say, if you always ask them, I mean, everybody might have different varying reasons how they came in, but 50-60% of the time, and I think you can also relate to that because you've been talking to many of these, that they say, Quran, this book, it was so intriguing. I just opened the first night and I started reading. I said, this person is saying that I said to myself, I'm going to read only one chapter. But I can't close the book. I finish one chapter, I feel like I want to go on and on and on. And by the time I know it's like, it's dawn, it's almost time to go to work. They sat down in the midnight thinking they'll just finish one chapter. But this is the magnetism of the Quran. This is the attractive power of Quran. And that is one of the reasons why the Quraysh of Makkah used to close their ears with the index finger. They don't listen to this Quran. لَا تَسْمَعُ لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَالْغَوْ فِيهِ. Why? Because you will then believe. Even a non-Muslim, even a pagan idolater who worships statues and things like that, understood and knew the power of this Quran, that if you just listen to it, that's the beginning of doubt. Imagine these people who are coming into Islam are revelating the same philosophy and wisdom which 1400 years ago or more so in the land of Quraysh people used to say, then what about us who are born Muslim? Azan was given in our right ear, Iqama was given in our left ear. We were born into this thing with the Quran. We were grown up in the midst of Quran. Where is our heart compared to these new Muslims? Wallahi, brothers and sisters, sometimes I feel ashamed of myself when I listen to a new Muslim talking like this about Quran, the power of Quran. At that time, I'm just really cursing my own self. What does it mean? What's wrong with me? Why can't I get this? Was I just a Muslim because of inheritance, because my parents were Muslim? Or what is it that they are seeing and we can't see? And that is what exactly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here about the jinn, that they said, إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا. Why is it ajeeb? يَحْدِي إِلَى الْرُشْدِ. It guides to righteousness. Every single word, every single ayah, every single harf of the Qur'an guides and attracts us to that effectivity. And then they say, فَآمَنَّا وَلَا مُشْرِكْ بِرَبِّنَا أَحَدًا. And then the same thing, the same concept of the jinn here in the Quran is also mentioned in Surah Ahqaf, Surah 46, verses 29, 30 and 31. Those three verses, something of a different nature Allah SWT mentions regarding the jinns listening to Quran. Very, very interesting. Allah SWT says, وَإِصَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفْرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ فَلَمَّا حَذَرُوهُ قَالُوا أَنْصِتُوا. Even the jinns knew the adab of Quran. SubhanAllah. Today, we see that we are driving car and people, they want to replace background music with Quran. They say, let the Quran cassette go in and we'll continue with our discussion and conversation while we're going on the highway on the turnpike. This is khilaf al-adab al-Quran. Quran being recited, everything else has to stop, come to a halt. Because the adab of Quran is, that when it is, وَإِذَقُلْ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِتُوا وَلَعَلَّكُمْ. Huh? Turhamun. Allah SWT is saying in Surah Araf, Surah 7, I forget the verse number over there, I think it's in the 200 range. Allah SWT is saying that وَإِذَقُلْ الْقُرْآنَ, when the Quran is being read and recited, then what is the adab, what should we do? وَإِذَقُلْ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. Listen to it. Listen to the Quran. Listen to the recitation. Is that enough? No. وَأَنْصِتُوا. Ah, now it answers the argumentation to the people who say that, oh, it's okay, you can have the cassette going on or CD in the car we're driving because I'm listening with the ear, but I'm talking to the brother next to me by my tongue. No, look what Allah is saying. Yes, you listen to it. وَأَنْصِتُوا. Be quiet, silent. Meaning if you are listening while you're talking, you are not doing it 100%. Half the job. Allah does not want a half-hearted job, wants a full-time, focused job. Like they say in this country, we grew up here saying, oh, put your heart where your mind is, or put your mind where your heart is. You know, and the supervisor or the manager comes in the company and says, oh, we are doing a sloppy job, not working good on the project, and the project is not giving good results and dividends. The supervisor says, oh, put your heart where your mind is, or put the heart where the work is. Because he or she can easily sense that the person's heart is not in that activity. But if the heart is in that activity, it will begin to absorb like a sponge. You use a sponge, you wash the dishes, it's wet, it's moistened. But if you put that sponge on the rack for days and weeks, you touch it, it's like a heart as a stone. That is the effectivity of our heart for the Qur'an. If we listen to Qur'an half-heartedly, unknowingly, just passively, that doing something else, the man or the dhahn or the brain is somewhere else, and Qur'an just being recited, it will not work. This is what we are seeing that we're supposed to do. The jinn nats knew this before us. When they listened to Qur'an, what did they say? They said that qalu ansitu. That Allah's mother is saying here that وَيَسْتَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ النَّفْرَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَدْعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. And O Muhammad ﷺ, remember the day when we sent a group of jinn to you and they were listening to Qur'an from you. فَلَمَّا حَضَرُوهُ. And when they come, when they attended your presence while you were reciting that ayah, Muhammad ﷺ, they said amongst themselves, قَالُوا. It is a sighatul jam in Arabic grammar, meaning they collectively said it. Unified. Not that one person said, hey, be quiet, listen to it. No. Qalu, not qala. That all of them said simultaneously, synchronized, we should be quiet. Qalu ansitu. فَلَمَّ قُدْيَ وَلَّ إِلَى قَوْمٍ مُنذِرِينَ. And when the recitation of the Prophet was finished, they went back to their qawm as mundhirin, as warners. This is from another perspective, dimension. Let's look at the next ayah in Surah Ra'd, one of the most intriguing. In my whole life, every time I read this ayah, I know some of us, we don't know Arabic that good, we cannot get the real juice or melody or sensitivity of this ayah, but I'll try my best to show you what Allah is saying in this ayah. In Surah Ra'd, Surah 13, verse 31, if you have that English Quran with you, open up to that and you see the English parallel to it, but you'll see how English is such a poor language. It does not give you a good translation of that verse. It just gives you the bare minimum to give an idea, perspective of it. But to really understand this ayah, we have to learn Arabic to really have a effectivity on the heart and soul. Allah SWT is saying, وَلَوْ أَنَّ قُرْآنًا سُيِّرَتْ بِهِ الْجِبَالُ وَقُطِّعَتْ بِهِ الْأَرْضُ وَكُلِّمَ بِهِ الْمَوْتَى بَلْ لِلَّهُ الْأَمْرُ جَمِيعًا. Allah SWT is giving us a different dimension of the Qur'an, which it has the power in it, but Allah has not released that power as a mercy for us, as safety and safeguarding us. Because if we would see that power of Quran today, it will probably create havoc on earth. People will be like, I mean, there will be no more kafir, I guess, if that thing is. What is Allah saying? وَلَوْ أَنَّ قُرْآنًا سُيِّرَتْ بِهِ الْجِبَالِ. If you were a mu'min or believer, if you were to see a Qur'an on this earth, that would literally shake and move the jibal. سُيِّرَتْ. سِيرَ. يَسِيرُ means to move, walk. Can you imagine mountains moving? We always know that famous ayah in Surah Hashr that we recite, and many of the imams in the masajid recite, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ. Over there, the effectivity of Qur'an with the mountain is a different perspective, different dimension. Allah is saying, if we were to reveal this Qur'an on the mountain, it will shatter into pieces. Over here, Allah's mother is saying, forget about being shattered to pieces. This Qur'an has such magnitude of power, it will cause the mountains to move. Imagine if you're driving on the highway and you see mountains moving because of the magnitude of Qur'an, because of the khashya of the Qur'an. That Qur'an, because of the mountain having khashya of Allah and feeling that this is the kalam of Allah. And where do we stand when we listen to Qur'an, memorize it in the heart, whether we implement it, how it happens, whatever. This is only the first part. Second part, even more intriguing. وَقُطِّعَتْ بِهِ الْأَرْضِ. If there was a Qur'an, that it would make the earth split apart, split asunder into pieces, it would be this Qur'an. But it is from the rahmah of Allah, it is from the mercy of Allah, that He withhold this power. It has this power, but it has been withheld as a mercy, rahmah from Allah, otherwise people will faint day and night just by looking at this intriguing power of Qur'an. That the earth will become apart. قُطِّعَتْ. قَطَعَ. And then the third one, which is like the pinnacle of effectivity. You know how many times we go to the qabr, our relatives, our grandfather, grandmother, father, mother, we go, pray Fatiha, we make dua for them, that, oh Allah, please make this grave of my loved one, my relative, my family, like Noor and Sakina, we also make dua for them even in our houses, that this person is in the graveyard, living over there in sukoon, in silence and all that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, can you visualize that kind of effectivity of Quran? Kullima bihil mawta. The dead living in the graves will begin to talk as a power of this Quran. And Rasulullah said that if Allah really wished and wanted to show you, He would have showed you that the people would come out from the graves and say, please, we have passed our term. We are now having regret, remorse, nadama. We are knowing that we wasted our time on earth. But Allah has withheld that power. That He's saying that if we were to go to the graveyard, imagine the person who you're standing in the graveyard all of a sudden speaks to you from there and said, brother, sister, please wake up. Brother, please wake up. You still have time. You are alive. I am no longer alive. My time has lapsed. My time has gone. And now that I am in my grave, I am seeing the things of a different dimension. Barzakh. Hayat al-Barzakh. That's why Rasulullah used to make that dua. Allahumma inna na'udhuka min adhab al-qabr. That he is seeing a different thing, so he is trying to wake that person up. And Rasulullah is saying that if would have been the case, then there will be no test. But the test for us is that we, by going to the graveyard, we remember the death, we remember Akhirah, we remember our accountability process, and we remember one of the most certain things, that we are to meet Allah. How will I meet Allah? Today if a kid, a son, a daughter do something wrong, and they know that there's something wrong, and they know they're going on the way back to home, all the time on that journey back home, they're just thinking, how am I going to face my father? When he's going to ask me this? How am I going to face my mother when she's going to tell me this? I mean, they have this, when you try to get into the groove of that feeling, sensitivity of that young child in their mind and heart, that he is making up excuses or thinking of something to speak while they're going to face their father, mother, when they're going to ask them about what they did. In the same way, but this is more higher. There's no comparison between the example of Allah, example of dunya. But the only reason we give example of dunya to make us better understand, imagine how are we going to be prepared to face Allah. When Allah asks us, I gave you these two eyes, what did you do with it? I gave you these two ears, what did you listen with it? I gave you this beautiful tongue that could be used in my zikr, in my remembrance, in my ibadah, in my worship. What did you use with it? Did you use this tongue as a scissor to cut off ties, or did you use this tongue as something that, like a soldering iron, that would join the ties together and bunch it and linkage together? Imagine how a person will face with that. And that is what Allah is saying, وَلَوْ أَنَّ قُرْآنًا سُجِّرَتْ بِهِ الْجِبَالُ أَوْ قُطِّعَتْ بِهِ الْأَرْضُ أَوْ كُلِّمَ بِهِ الْمَوْتَ بَلْ لِلَّهُ الْأَمْرُ جَمِيعًا. الْأَمْرُ لِلَّهِ. It is the amr of Allah. If He wants, He would do that. But we will be so baffled and plagued and intrigued with that. So Allah has withheld these three effectivities of the Quran in such a way. But just imagine if the dead coming from the grave, our loved ones for whom we pray, they tell us, wake up. We are too late. We can't do anything. I'm trying to warn you. I'm trying to tell you. So many will take their advice because we know that they are dead and they are speaking from the grave. We will not waste one second back in our dunya life to not heed their advice, because we know that they are going through right now in Barzakh. That's why Rasulullah he said that I love to go to the graveyard and make dua over there, because in my salawat, my prayer at that time, yusakkin, it calms and cools down the effectivity at that time on the grave. Whatever is happening on that person who is in the grave, in the qabr, it stops by our visitation. And that is why he said, kuntu nahaytukum an ziyatil qubur ala fazuruha. He said that I used to before, Prophet ﷺ is saying, I used to before forbid you from going to the graveyard. أَلَا فَزُورُوهَا. Now I am giving you the order, go and visit the graveyard. Because there is a win-win situation. You go to visit the graveyard, even if it's not your relative loved one, but by our going there and standing, just standing over there in tafakkur tadabbur, Allah halts the azab, stops. Orders the angels, stop right now, because somebody has come to visit. Because of a live person standing in front of a dead person, Allah's nizam has become stopped at that time. Barakah, rahmah, mercy. And the other win situation, that's one win situation. The other win situation, for us, when we go there, certainly we take a big advice. Nobody can say that I went to the graveyard and I didn't learn anything. In fact, this was the sunnah of Rasulullah to visit the graveyard. And this sunnah was continued in the four khulafa rashideen. Do you know that during the time of Uthman ibn Affan's khulafa, he used to spend a lot of time in the graveyard. So one of his subordinates asked him, one of the Sahaba asked him, we see that ever since you become a Khalifa, you spend more time in the graveyard now. He said, yes, because now I have a big masuliyah, I have a big responsibility. I am the head of state. So in order to protect my nafs, I have to visit this place, which is the food and savior back from the corruption of the nafs. The nafs will not be corruptive if it's regularly visiting the graveyard and regularly attached with the Qur'an. And that is why we see over here Allah SWT is telling us these effectivities of the Qur'an, these things of the Qur'an in order to make us realize that look, you are not dealing with some really simple book. This book has so much power that it makes mountains move into shatter into pieces. It would make even the dead to come alive and speak again, to talk and give us advice. Another aspect, that those who, from a different dimension, so far we talked about jinn, so we talked about ourselves as Muslims. Another dimension, from the dimension of a non-Muslim, someone who is not believing in the Quran yet, doesn't believe in Allah yet. When they listen to Quran, what happens? Allah tells us about them in Surah Ma'idah, Surah 5, verses 82 and 83. Allah SWT says, وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ تَرَى أَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيدُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا فَاكْتُبْنَا مَعَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here in this verse in Surah Ma'idah, وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ الرَّسُولِ. And when those people over there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the Christians, the Ahl al-Kitab, in the context that when they listen to the Quran, what happens to them? Then تَرَى أَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيدُ مِنَ الدَّمِ, meaning you see tears coming from their eyes. Who is this? A person who has not yet believed in Allah and the Quran. Just by listening to it, they realize. What do they realize? The Quran is haqq. And that is what the Allah says, تَرَى عَيْنُ تَفِيدُ مِنَ الدَّمِ مِمَّا. مِمَّا is short for مِن and مَا. مِن meaning from. مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Once they realize the haqq, the truth, the solitude, the magnitude, they begin to cry. Why? The Allah says, يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا. They say, oh our Lord, آمَنَّا, we have believed in you, believe in the Quran, believe in Allah, believe in the Rasul Sallam, فَاكْتُبْنَا مَعَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. Then write us with those who give witness about this. And that is why Allah told us that if you see, Quran is the kalam of Allah, and Allah gave His divine scripture, time for them, divine scripture, Allah SWT says, it's good to have these people here so they can, you can tell. So divine scripture has been coming from Adam alayhi salam to Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. And it is not just the effectivity of Quran, but the effectivity of all the divine scriptures, all the things of Allah SWT. And we see that example from Surah Nuh, Surah 71 in the Quran. If we pick up, we see over there, Allah SWT tells us about how their people used to behave with Nuh alayhi salam. That every time Nuh alayhi salam would call upon his people, they would enter their index finger, أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي أَذَانِهِمْ وَاسْتَغْشُوا ثِيَابَهُمْ. Allah SWT gives us a very discreet picture, visual, graphic image of the way these people used to react to the kalam of Nuh alayhi salam. And Nuh alayhi salam will talk to them about Allah, talk to them about kalam of Allah. They will put their index finger, أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي أَذَانِهِمْ, both the index finger in both the ears. They don't want to leave one ear open in fear that something might get into it. No, they want to cover up both the ears. وَاسْتَغْشُوا ثِيَابَهُمْ وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا إِسْتِكْبَارًا. They would also put their clothes on top of them so as to completely wrap up and everything. They don't want to listen to the kalam message, because they knew that the message has such power and magnitude that it can pull them away. The same thing is with the people of Quraysh. Like I said earlier, that in Mecca, when they saw the effectivity of Quran in the life of Mecca, in the Meccan phase of Rasulullah's da'wah, they started saying that, look, we can't just stop. We can't just stop Muhammad, but we have to also stop the flourishing of this message, because whoever recites this Quran, the other person who listens gets attracted to it, becomes, takes shahada and becomes Muslim. So we got to stop the source. And that's why they said, وَقَالُوا, Allah SWT says about them, and they said, وَقَالُوا لَا تَسْمَعُوا, don't listen لِهَذَا الْقُرَانِ, don't listen to this Quran. وَالْغَوْ فِيهِ, nor should you also ponder and think about this Quran, because it will take you away from your father's religion. And they didn't want that to happen. So we see that by listening has a lot of effect, and that's why we wanted to listen tonight to our shuyukh, so that this listening effectivity has a lot. And that is our rabt ma'al Qur'an, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and give us